listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio and streaming live on Instagram. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you stop counting calories, carbs, and fat grams, stop dieting, so you can get to a healthy weight and get on with your life. I am here to help you look at what is eating at you instead of focusing on what you are eating, because that is the way to... Oh, I'm getting a message from Josh. Hold that thought, Josh. That is the way to food freedom. It's really not what you're eating. It's why. Josh wants to talk about shame, guilt, and being the object of someone's envy. Well, Josh and anyone else who would like to join me today on the show, the number is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, and any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. Again, it's what's eating at you. So Josh, feel free to call, and there you are. Hi, Josh.
No, it's not Josh.
Oh, it's not Josh. I am sorry. Hi, welcome to the show. Who's this?
It's Pamela.
Pamela. Hi, Pam. Yes. How are you doing? I'm so glad you called. What's going on?
A lot of things. I'm so happy that I've talked to you. I don't even know where to begin. It's been a while. So I'm back at my original weight, and I'm unhappy about it. And, you know, it's starting to affect my health a lot. And I remember all the things that you've said in the past about, halt. Are you hungry? Are you angry? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Even last night or yesterday, I realized, you know, why I've been eating late at night, because I'm angry about what I'm going through. And because of the chemotherapy that I'm doing, it fluctuates, and it's just, you know, I'm just irritable because I don't like being at this weight again. And I think when I lost the weight 10, 11 years ago, I was happy. I was in my happy place, and I proved the point that, you know, even, you know, because I was told that, you know, you're skinny. If you're skinny, you can get a man. And when I lost the weight 11 years ago, I thought that was true. And I realized it's not true. My grandma lied to me. You know, my grandma said that.
Your grandma lied to you because this is the great illusion that if you lose weight, you can have what's missing in your life. So, you know, right. Pam, if you were told if you lose weight, you're going to get a guy, and then you lose weight, and then where's the guy? Where is he? He doesn't magically appear. Yeah. So,
and I found myself a guy, and you know what? He was a piece of crap. He was a piece of crap. He just, like, you know, he was, well, first of all, he was from, where was he from? He was from Nigeria, and he had this, oh, I love a man with an accent. I just, like, you know, and he would fly between Nigeria and London, and he had this beautiful accent. But he, even though I was at my weight point that, you know, he still treated me like crap. And I said, Grandma, you lied, because you said that, you know, if I could get a, if I lose weight, I can get a boyfriend or a man. And it just didn't work out, you know.
That's very crushing. It's very difficult to realize that you can't change your life or get a relationship or the right relationship simply by losing weight. And I know that you're right. Going through a lot right now, and you've shared about chemotherapy and cancer, and you know the best thing that you can do right now. And I heard you kind of refer to being frustrated with yourself because you've gained the weight. The best thing that you can do is actually be kind to yourself and be loving and supportive as you would be anybody else, I'm sure, in your life. And when you are kind to yourself and you're sweet to yourself, you don't need food to escape or numb or comfort, because you're able to do it for you.
Right. And, you know, last night I was, let me explain to you how my therapy is, my treatment. So I've gone through the I'm what's called HER2 positive 2. HER2 positive. And what they do is that they give you this, it's called Herception, and it goes with the chemo and everything else that they gave me. So for 6 rounds, I went through that, and I was sick. I was so sick. And I'm telling you, I just do not wish that on anybody, because it is terrible. It's terrible. So then I stopped for a month, and then this was in February. And then in March, I had the surgery. And then I was told that, and I knew that I had to go back to the Herception. So I said, okay, fine, easy peasy. It was really easy, you know, and so I was going back to like 2 sessions, and I was fine. No nausea, no diarrhea, no loss of appetite. You know, I even stopped like eating out. You know, I just cut all that crap out. Anyways, so I went this past Wednesday for another treatment, and Sunday I started to get sick, nauseous, you know, bone pain. I'm having bone pain, and
may I just interject for a second? It sounds like you're just going through hell. You're going through so much that the treatment is truly awful. The way to get healthy and get over from, you know, survive breast cancer is to go through this horrible, horrific treatment that makes you feel so bad. And perhaps you're using food at times to feel better. And the key is to really find other ways to, you know, feed your soul and to feel better. And to, you know, are you a part of any kind of community?
I have therapy twice a month, and I even went out and I bought a reclining chair, and I have felt so good in that chair. I just sit back and rock myself, and I put on my music, or I have my iPad and I stream. I have like every streaming channel around. And but I still eat whatever I can find at night.
Would you be in touch with? Like, what would you think about if you weren't eating? What is that eating doing for you?
filling a hole. It's even though it's not making me feel better, it's just filling that hole.
Okay.
I'm angry because, and I couldn't figure out why. And you know, and I know you eat the crunchy stuff when you're angry, and that's all I could find is crunchy, is I want crunchy stuff, and I couldn't figure it out why. And then I thought about it. I know why, because I'm angry that I got this. I'm angry that I'm going through this. I'm angry that, you know, my sister that I haven't talked to, well, no, that's not true. My sister that I haven't talked to in 11 years came out and was by my side, you know. She's the one who gave me COVID.
So Pam, you have a lot to be upset about. You have this breast cancer. Which is such an unfair and horrible thing. You're mad at the world. You have this sister who gave you COVID when she sounds like did she give you COVID when she came to take care of you or help you through cancer?
Yes, but she didn't know she had it.
Okay, so this is so upsetting and so infuriating. And sometimes we can't do anything other than just express, oh, I feel so angry. Yeah. I'm so upset. And I want to challenge you to say that you're upset. Are you ready for a challenge, Pam? You ready?
Yes.
Ready for here's my challenge.
You okay. know I'm always ready for a challenge.
Okay. Pam, you have a delightful laugh. And you are so friendly and warm. However, when you talk about being mad, I notice that you laughed. So I want to challenge you to just say, I am so mad without laughing at a woman.
I'm so angry. I'm just so angry at everything. I'm so angry that I got breast cancer. I'm so angry that my sister gave me COVID, but I can't really blame her because she didn't know she had it, you know. But I'm just so angry at you know, going through this treatment, and I thought I was past the nauseousness, but now it came back. And you know what I'm also angry at? I'm angry at my friend who I needed him dearly to console me, and he didn't even do that. He threw it off. Like I said, all I want you to do is to check in with me to see if I'm okay. Well, I don't need to check in with you. You're not a hotel. And I'm like, really? You're supposed to be my friend of over 20 years. You know, and then I had said I didn't want reconstruction, and all he did was, well, you should go and get a third opinion and go get reconstruction. No, and I kept telling him, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it. And he just, you know, he was being selfish. But
so is there also something that is triggering about not being listened to, not being heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can see how there are many different ways that you are being massively triggered, not only the fact that you have had to deal with this breast cancer and surgery and all that that entails, and you got COVID from the sister who came to help you, and you did all of this as we're going through a pandemic, and you're alone, and people aren't listening to you.
And so the worst thing.
Okay, up there's that laugh, right? So I really want you to pay attention to being able to express what you feel, whether it is anger or disappointment or sadness, without laughing. And filling the hole, we can't fill the hole with food. We fill that hole with a connection with other people who get it, who understand. I really suggest, if you're not already a part of a cancer community, that you join a support group and reach out.
No, I have.
So that when you are feeling this, there's someone that you can reach out to that will fill the hole and express the anger. Feel free to call me back next week and express some more anger. It needs to come out so it doesn't get stuffed down symbolically and then taken out on yourself because you get mad at yourself. So are these things that you can do? Can you really pay attention to the laughing? Can you reach out to other people and express? Do you have my book, The Binge Cure?
No. What's the book?
It's called The Binge Cure: 7 Steps to Outsmart Emotional Eating. It's available on Amazon. Oh. And okay. On page 45, so just look up my name on Amazon and you'll see 3 books, Beyond the Primal Addiction, Food for Thought, and The Binge Cure. So you want The Binge Cure. And on page 45 of The Binge Cure, I give you ways to express your feelings, because there are 2 ways to deal with feelings. One is to express them. Food is avoiding them, and there are other ways of avoiding them temporarily. And that's why you hear things like, go brush your teeth when you want to eat, or go take a bubble bath. Well, if that worked, everyone had very sparkly white teeth and their hands would be prunes from being in the bath all the time. It doesn't work as well as food. Eventually have to find a way to express those feelings instead of avoiding them. And that is something that's really, really important. And you also need people who get it and who will affirm you and listen, rather than people who are well-meaning perhaps, but end up just arguing with you about your choices, which just makes you mad, which just leads to food. There's the crunchy, and it's a terrible cycle.
But you want to know something? You know what? He flipped. He's like my grandma. So he'll flip. You know, he'll say, oh, you know, like I just talked to him and he said, No, I understand. But a month ago you were like sitting there arguing with me. And so, you know, he does that, you know, we've talked about that. He does that flip thing. And it just like, it drives me crazy. I mean, I love him to death. And, you know, I don't want to see him anymore. I just don't want to see him anymore. We can talk on the phone and that's about it. And it's even hard for me to tell him that I'm angry at you for what you've done in the last 9 months, you know, something that I have to work on.
And may I say this, that sometimes, in fact, often, we're angry at people, and it will do us no good to tell them that we're angry. They will argue with us. They will get defensive. Right. They will push back. They will attack. The best offense is a good – best defense is a good offense. You know, then you just end up getting more mad. And that's why expressing it to somebody else, to yourself, journaling about it, talking to – well, in this case, you're talking to me about it, getting it out – is so important. When I say express it, I do not mean tell the person who's upsetting you. You might be, for example, people are really mad at their bosses. You're not going to go to your boss and be like, I am so mad at you. You just piss me off all the time. No, that's not going to get you anywhere. But your boss pisses you off. This friend pisses you off. You're upset. It needs to come out. The other thing that you can do, it sounds so goofy, but I did it when I was in grad school, and I do it with my online coaching group sometimes, is you write down everything that's making you upset. You take a piece of paper and write down everything that is upsetting you, from that cancer diagnosis to the friends who won't listen to, you know, everything to the unfairness of the universe, to the fact that your grandmother lied to you, to everything that makes you mad. And then you know what you do? You rip it up. You rip up that paper into little tiny pieces. It's oddly satisfying. I don't know why it works, really, from a psychological standpoint. I don't know why it works, but it does work. And so give that a try. Now you have a bunch of things that you can do. And Pam, will you call me back next week and let me know how it goes and how you're doing?
Yes. And you know what? Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you. I miss those times. I really do. And I can't tell you how much you've impacted my life. So much.
Aww.
And I think that's the reason that I started listening and coming back, because I'm just tired. I'm tired of being sick. I'm tired of going to Kaiser, you know, and doctor's appointments and more doctor's appointments, and I'm just so tired.
I want you to know something that, so, you know, I also stream the show on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's on LA Talk Radio. Later, it's on Apple Podcasts. So I can read what people are saying on Instagram. And I want you to know that Carly Gash is thanking you and saying that it's been really helpful. People are sending you love. People are sending you hearts.
Thank you, people.
When you share your story, people are hearing, people are listening, people are maybe even relating, maybe not to the cancer part, although some are, but to the helpless part, to the frustration part, to the not having a way to cope part, to the eating at night part, because you're trying to stuff that hole that can't be filled. You are not alone. You are not alone, and it will get better. So please,
I caught your segment with Kelly Gunther.
Gunther, yeah.
And she's, wow.
She's pretty terrific. She's my co-host on Binge Free Babes, and she's wonderful, and her story is very inspiring. So I hope that you will be inspired by her and by what I'm telling you, and by the community of people that are here to help and here to hear. So please do these things. And Carly Gash is now saying, Kelly's cool, yo. So, yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes I have trouble getting onto Instagram when you're live. So I don't know. Look, I'm lucky to do what I could do.
You got me. We're talking, so that is ultimately the most important thing. So I look forward to hearing from you next week and hearing how all of those things that you're all the things that you're going to do for yourself and how that is going to start changing how you feel.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Take good care, Pam.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye for now. Oh, my heart goes out to her. She's going through so much. And it's so hard to go through that kind of scary, horrible disease alone during a pandemic and then getting COVID on top of it. Can't even imagine. Do I have another caller? Ronan? No. Oh, yes. You. Josh is on. Hi, Josh.
How's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to talk to you about shame and guilt and how it could also be related to being the object of someone's envy. And I wanted to know if being the object of someone's envy can make us feel guilty when we may not normally feel guilty. Like, we want to know, is there something wrong with us that would make us be the object of someone's envy, in a sense? Does that make sense?
Well, I think it would be helpful if you could give an example. But before you give an example, let me say this.
Okay.
So, So guilt is when you feel bad about something that you've done or you haven't done. So guilt sounds like, oh, I feel really guilty because I ate those cookies, or I feel really guilty that I didn't hold the door open for the person in the wheelchair. Guilt. So, oh, there's something wrong with what I did, or there's something wrong with what I didn't do. Shame is a pervasive sense that there is something wrong with you. So whereas guilt is about what you're doing or not doing, shame is about who you are. And shame is, of course, a much more powerful and horrible experience than guilt. Shame is there's something wrong with me. Envy, then I also want to talk about just briefly, envy versus jealousy. Jealousy is, ooh, I want what she has. She has a cool new car. I wish I had that. Envy is that you want to destroy the person who has what you have. So envy is, she has that cool new car. I don't have that cool new car. I hate her. I want to make her miserable and destroy her because she has something that I don't have.
Yeah. So, I wonder if that could affect our eating habits.
Well, of course. Of course, guilt and shame can also be displaced. Displaced from, I feel guilty about something in my life. Oh, that's too difficult to feel guilty about it. No, I feel guilty that I ate something. So guilt can be displaced onto food. And then often when we feel guilty about eating, we feel shame. We feel like there's something wrong with us for not being able to control ourselves. We feel mortified and shameful. So yes, absolutely. If guilt over one thing can become guilt over something else, food and eating.
So would you say that if I was the object of shame, I'm sorry, if I was the object of someone's envy, if someone wanted to bring me down because they were not just jealous, but envious of something that I had or what they thought might be good about, who knows what I have and whether it's good or not, but the person has set their eyes on it and is envious. Could that cause me to have shame in my eating? I would imagine that it could, especially in childhood.
I think anything can cause you to have shame if you are not in a environment in which you feel safe. And if you're not in an environment in which you feel safe to be you and to have a range of different feelings and thoughts, then yes, you are vulnerable to experiencing shame.
I was thinking of that because of last week. Go ahead.
It's humiliating to want something you don't get, and that humiliation can become shame. And I was just thinking about what you were saying last week, about eating fast and the shame of wanting and needing and yearning and wanting something from someone who wasn't giving it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's why I called and that's why I'm posing this question, because I'm wondering if it could be maybe someone's envy of me. Say my dad, who could have been envious, just who knows? I mean, when parents are really good to their children, envy can result because they're such good parents. They're allowing their child to have all of these opportunities, and they sometimes may not be able to avoid feeling envious of their child.
This is something that people don't talk about. Parents feel envious of their children for being being young and having their lives ahead of them, often.
Yeah.
Or for having things that they didn't have, or for fail. There are many reasons why people have these feelings, and sometimes people have these feelings about their own children. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it could be, you know, a shameful relation to food, either, you know, not wanting it or wanting more of it in eating fast, like I was saying last week, could be a reaction to the feelings of being the object of envy, which is sort of like we're in tune with our parents' unconscious. I mean, our parents had an unconscious mind too. You know, they're not robots. So maybe the child tunes in to the unconscious feeling of envy on the part of the father, say me as a boy, and as a result of that, felt shame, felt guilt, which are, of course, are different, but they're linked. And that could have interacted with how the young boy was dealing with his needs and wants, especially as it appertained to food.
Absolutely. The other reason that this happens is that sometimes a parent is all about the child and the other parent feels left out. So if your mom was, for example, if someone's mom, I won't say you because I know nothing about you know, your specific life, but if someone's mother is really wrapped up in her son, if a mom is really wrapped up in her son and the husband can feel left out. Then if the husband had an experience in his childhood in which he felt left out in other ways, it just revives that, and that gets played out in this family. And the kid just, doesn't know what's going on. The kid just knows that dad is weird towards him, and that feels bad. Kids pick up on the unspoken, you know, feeling that's there or not there. And that can feel bad. And when things feel bad, you turn to food to feel better. To answer your question, yes and yes.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I was just, you know, I was actually thinking about that last couple days or last week since we talked. And then the American Psychoanalytic Association on their Twitter page posted a article written by a psychoanalyst, and the psychoanalyst in the article for Psychology Today was saying that sometimes it's very hard to know if we're actually guilty or if we're just the object of someone else's envy. So I thought that was very pertinent to exactly what I was thinking about just this morning. It was posted. So, So I guess the idea is, how do we differentiate between guilt that we might be feeling just because we actually did something wrong or that we can do something better, and the feeling that's not our fault, that just comes as a result of being the object of someone else's envy?
Well, I think we have to check in with ourselves and just say, what am I actually feeling guilty about? And by the way, if it's, I feel guilty because I ate XYZ, ask yourself, what would I feel guilty about if I weren't feeling guilty about what I ate? Is there anything else in my life that I feel some sense of guilt, that I'm doing something or not doing something that I think I ought to do or not, or something that I've done that I shouldn't have done?
Yeah, so that exactly. And I've said this to you before. A part of me wants to say that the child, the five-year-old child, isn't the reincarnation of the, you know, Dalai Lama. In other words, the child might just be not so perfect in their behavior. So we always think about the parents' blame, the parents' fault, but I feel like sometimes it could be possible that either in our childhood we were actually misbehaving, or in our adult life, we were also could be misbehaving, and that might be part of the reason why we would feel guilty, just because we actually are guilty in a sense.
Well, okay, first of all, let me just say something about the blame the parents thing. I am not in favor of blaming parents. My whole thing when I look at, when I say, well, let's look at what happened with your parents or with your grandparents or your aunts and your uncles or siblings or whatever, let's look at what happened. That is to construct how you came to relate to yourself and therefore to food in this way. Blaming is like saying, it's their fault. They did this to me. I'm a victim. No, that doesn't help anybody. And it keeps you in a victim place. Not you, Josh, but anyone who's in playing the blame game, it keeps you in a victim place. And then you just, nothing changes. I am in favor of understanding what happened in the past, reconstructing it so that you can explain what, how you came to be in this relationship with yourself and therefore with food. So big difference between blame and explain. You know, I'm all about semantics because it's a huge difference to say blame. It's a huge difference to say, okay, I want to explain what happened in the service of change.
Yeah.
Children
I think that's a really helpful. Go ahead.
Okay. And then children do misbehave. People misbehave. But what is the level and intensity of the guilt? For example, I mean, I've had patients who were shamed by their parents for wanting more food when they were 3, 4, 5 years old, 10 years old. They still recall the shame of it. The shame of it, like they're being caught doing something terrible and as a result feel bad about themselves. So sometimes we're made to feel guilty or we're made to feel shame based on behavior that is actually not inherently bad. It is not bad to want more ice cream when you're 3. It is not bad to go have, you know, toast at 10 o'clock at night. And yet these are things that people have been shamed for. And as a result, feel bad about themselves. Kids misbehave all the time. And they ought to feel, we have to feel guilty. We have to know that part of our development is developing a morality. Super ego, if you will. I know you're a big fan of psychoanalysis, which I love. We have to develop a sense of what's right and what's wrong. And we do things wrong, but how guilty should we feel? We should feel guilty, but have that be commensurate with what we did wrong. And learn from it,
yeah.
As opposed to feeling,
yeah,
eaten up. Isn't that interesting? Our vernacular, eaten up with guilt, and have it then lead to shame and feel really bad about ourselves. And then because we can't, how does this relate to food? Then we can't be with ourselves because we feel so full of guilt and shame, and it's horrible. So we just need to escape ourselves and feel better. And there's food.
Yeah. You know, I feel like the superego is one of those things that can't be talked about enough, because that's the superego that's going to make us feel so bad. I mean, I'm not saying that your last caller was, you know, had to do with a superego, but when you feel so miserable, because she has other issues going on as far as the treatment, which is just suffering, just pure pain. But we can be so mean to ourselves that we cause ourselves so much just misery because we're just so internally so harsh and so critical. I feel like talking about the superego is something that can save one from suicide. I mean, because in those cases, many celebrities, they've, you know, committed suicide, and you always want to know how vicious were they to themselves? How vicious was their inner voice, you know?
Exactly. Now, a way to talk about superego, because a lot of these terms are very archaic and from 100+ years ago and not immediately relatable. So another way to talk about that is the inner critic. So we have the part of ourselves that wants things, the part of ourselves that needs things, wants things, and then we have a part of ourselves that's critical. And when that critic is in control, it just makes us feel terrible. And the idea is that, you know, we all need a little bit of self-critic. We all need a little bit of a part of ourselves telling us what to do or not to do. But when that critic becomes too big and too powerful, when it is behind the driver's seat of our car on our road of life, then all it does is makes us feel terrible. And then the critic makes us want to escape our critical voice. And one way to do that is to go into the zone of eating. And to challenge that critical voice. Whose voice is it? Where did you learn that? How can you challenge it? How big of a terrible thing is this? Is it really? Let's stop criminalizing what we weigh. Let's stop criminalizing what we eat. And let's have a more compassionate, reasonable stance with ourselves. Then that critic slash superego is not so dominant, and we can live a more balanced life. And that extends then to our relationship with food.
Yeah, and I feel like I'm almost to the point where I can have my life just be breakfast, lunch, and dinner, as you've always said. I'm very right on the precipice of just being able to look at my life through the lens of what I haven't eaten or what I have eaten. And obviously you have directed me into that. And I almost want to say I'm almost in recovery. You know, I know you don't like to think of food as an addiction, but in the addiction world, in the 12-step world, people always talk about being in recovery. And that comes to mind for me, that I'm basically almost in recovery from not an addiction, but sort of just an unhealthy, mixed up kind of relationship with food.
I have a different word for you. I think you'll like it better. Okay. Rather than in recovery, which when you're in recovery, you know, when are you recovered? And if you're recovered, what does that even mean? Like, we recover from a bad breakup. We recover from things that happen to us. Being in recovery sort of sounds interminable, like you're always going to be in recovery. No, I believe in liberation. Liberation is you've won the diet war, you have prevailed, now you are liberated, you are free. And that's what I want for people, is to feel liberated from all of these thoughts, as well as the behaviors, the thinking about it all the time, the preoccupation with it. What am I going to eat? What am I not going to eat? What did I eat? How much should I exercise? Oh my God, I can't look in the mirror. To be free of those thoughts, as well as have a normalized relationship with food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, eat when you're hungry. Occasionally have ice cream because it's good, and a reasonable amount, and not to change the way you emotionally feel. That's liberation. That's what I want for you and all of you.
Yeah, I like wishing for enlightenment, wishing for liberation. I feel like life is so short, and all of us are maybe unconsciously wanting liberation, knowing that freedom exists. Either we perceive it in other people. Sometimes we perceive it in other people, and it's not even there. We think it's there, but it's really not. If we knew them really well, we would see that they're actually just as miserable as we are. But I think that we can wish for things that are pure and good, because at least if we think of ourselves that we can be liberated, good chances are it'll be, you know, a couple steps away from us getting it, because positive, and you know, that in that sense, positive thinking could help.
Positive thinking in terms of hope. Like, I believe in the power of hope, but that is different from positive thinking, which is like, if you can tell yourself a mantra of everything is great and I'm a perfect, beautiful child of the universe, that somehow you're going to feel better about yourself. Hope is saying, you know what, if you look at why you feel bad about yourself and work through it, or why you feel bad and recognize it and work through it and take steps to change, you can change your life. Positive thinking is kind of look on the bright side. which is also a way of dismissing the bad things that happen to us. The reality is things happen that are bad. We all have seen this from 2020 to now. I mean, like a global pandemic happened to us. It's bad. You can't positive think your way out of that or anything else. All you can do is say, you know what? This was really a horrible, horrible thing that happened. And maybe there's something that we can learn from it. Maybe there's a silver lining, but you can't focus on the silver lining without recognizing, you know what? There was also a really dark cloud. Because if you only do positive thinking, and by the way, I'm just going on this rant, not because I think you are a positive thinker and a dismisser, but just because you said it made me think, I got to say this.
I know. I know. Continue.
Yeah, so often our culture is like, oh, just think positively. And then we never learn how to deal with the negative stuff that happens in our lives. We can deal with that. And when we deal with that, we don't use food to escape it or to express it or to whatever. We can deal with the bad things and have the good. And that's balance. And that's life.
Yeah, and I just want to say thank you, obviously. You deserve thanks. And you know, your last caller really appreciated you. And I like that because it makes me feel that I'm not alone. I'm not the only person who thinks that you're incredible. And that might seem weird, but it helps to reinforce a lot of the things that we've talked about, knowing that you are helping other people just like you've helped me. And anyone listening would probably benefit because of like, oh, things that I want to say thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Josh. I mean, I, it is my privilege and my pleasure to do this show. And another silver lining of the pandemic is before this, I was always in the studio every week. And because I have been doing the show from home for over a year now, and I've been doing the show for 4 years, over 4 years, that's when I started streaming it live on Instagram at the same time. And I think that's how you found me. So isn't it interesting how things work out? There are things that are...
That's really interesting. I feel like we shouldn't have to depend on the next pandemic for us to find the sparks of joy in our life. But that's how I'll just end it there.
Well said, Josh. Well said. And we also find the evidence we look for. When we look for the sparks of joy, we will see them. And when we look for the what's the opposite of the sparks of joy, the blots of hell, the dark clouds of hell, I guess there wouldn't be clouds in hell.
And
but
that's
you know what
I'm
saying.
And that's what I meant by thinking positively. I mean, you're right. I'm not naively thinking positively, or really just unconsciously angry or miserable. The positive thinking that I was thinking about is looking for those moments of enlightenment, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And when you find them and you take them in and you change the way you think, when you change the way you think, you change the way you feel. When you change the way you feel, you change what you do. Carly Gash is saying, oh, thank you, Carly Gash. Oh yeah. She's saying, join us in the groups. We'll be very happy to liberate ourselves together. She is referring to, I've got a lot of groups, including the, you know, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community on Facebook. And I don't know if you're on Facebook, Josh, or anyone else who's listening. Join me and Carly Gash and other people all over the world who are on board with this notion of we have to find a different way of relating to ourselves. It's not about food. It's about what's eating at you. And it's about how we deal with what's eating at us. So Dr. Nina's Food for Thought on Facebook, join me there or join me here next week. That actually does it for our show. Thank you, Josh. And thank you,
thank
Pam.
You very
and
much.
Thank you, Carly Gash. I'm really glad that I have the opportunity to be here and to talk about these concepts. I was lucky enough as in 2000 when I was in grad school and I was told, nobody does psychoanalysis anymore. That's so old. That's so archaic. Who does that? Absurd. Well, I was, and I thought that was the case until I was lucky enough to have a mentor who's a psychoanalyst and an eating disorder specialist. And that is how I discovered the power and depth and life-changingness of the psychoanalytic thought. And it's not, if you think psychoanalysis is Freud, nope. That started with Freud. And we have Freudian concepts, but comparing modern psychoanalysis to Freud is like comparing a Tesla to a Model T Ford. They are both cars, but they're the similarity begins and ends. So it's my privilege to be able to bring some of these ideas to you to expand the way that you're thinking, to promote the idea that there's an unconscious, that once we make our unconscious minds conscious, we know what we're fighting, we can fight back, we can win that diet war, and then we're free, then we have liberation. That is what I am doing here. Every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, you can join me here live next Wednesday, or you can listen later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get podcasts or on LA Talk Radio website. Thank you so much. Be curious, not critical. Take good care, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.